Thank you so much, Rebecca, for sharing with our church family. You know, yesterday afternoon when I heard late that there was a foot of snow at Leone Meadows, I thought, my, what a wonderful place to be this weekend. Can you imagine all of those little kids up there? They're throwing snowballs at their parents and getting back at them. But I'm sure that they're having a wonderful time. I suppose that no other person of the Godhead has been so misunderstood as the Holy Spirit. You know, after all, when we talk about the Holy Spirit for centuries, what did we call the Holy Spirit? The Holy Ghost. Now, if that isn't scary, and makes it very difficult to understand and meaningful to today's generation, especially if you're using one of those older translations of the Bible where he's called the Holy Ghost. Perhaps there's another reason why he's misunderstood, because we also frequently refer to him as the third person of the Godhead, as though he's not quite equal in some sense. And then you'll notice in prayers, very frequently in prayers, people will refer to him as it. And there's many people out there, many Christians, who really see the Holy Spirit as some kind of influence that is out there, but they're not really sure what he is or how he works. And so this morning, we're going to take a new look at the Holy Spirit, because I think that it is one of the most misunderstood topics in the Christian religion. Susan was one of my students. I had the joy of teaching her theology for 4 years, and she was so enthusiastic. She wanted to get out of college. She wanted to get to work giving Bible studies as a Bible worker. And the day finally came when she graduated, and she was just elated. The Taiwan mission hired her as a Bible worker, and she went to work, and she was giving Bible studies day after day after day. She was just so enthusiastic and excited about all of the possibilities for sharing Jesus Christ. Well, the day came when Susan made a friend, and Susan started to go once in a while to a charismatic church with this friend, and this charismatic church happened to speak in tongues. And one day they invited Susan to come down front and to speak in tongues along with all of them, and Susan did that. She went down front and she began to speak in tongues, and suddenly something was much more important in her life than what the Bible said, and that something was what she thought that the Holy Spirit was revealing to her in this experience, quote-unquote, speaking in tongues. And I still remember going to visit Susan. She had dropped out of the ministry. She had actually left the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we studied together, we prayed together over a series of weeks. And Susan was absolutely convinced that what the Holy Spirit had revealed to her was more important, was at a higher level than we find in God's Word, than we find in this book we call the Bible. Well, then I want to tell you about Gwen. Gwen had, both of her parents were physicians. Her older brother was a physician. And Gwen was just really a bright girl. And she was in college. She was a university student. And somewhere she began to study the Bible, and she began to read the Bible. And somebody of all things, gave to her a great controversy. Well, let me tell you, over in the Republic of China, the great controversy is difficult for people to read and understand. Can you guess why? It's mainly Western history that's in there. Well, she read this, though. She read the great controversy, and it made an impact on her life. And she began to visit around to churches looking for a church to attend. And she went to a charismatic church one Sunday morning, and as she was there, they urged her to go down front and receive the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. And so she went down front, and she had this experience of glossolalia, of speaking in tongues. And when Gwendolyn told me the story, she said, you know, I don't know why I did it, but I came out of this experience. And I had been studying all of this time, and I knew from God's word that the seventh day was God's Sabbath. Now, one thing that you have to realize over in among the Chinese people, the first day of the week is not Sunday. In the Chinese language, Xingxi'i or Li Bai'i is Monday. And the first day of the week leads you on up to the seventh day of the week, which is called Li Bai Er, the day of worship, which is on Sunday. And so it's very, very confusing unless they have studied the calendar and they know which day is which. Well, she came out of this experience in the front of the church, and she said all of these people were gathered around her, and they were Zan Mei Shang Di, Gan Xie Shang Di, Tai You Bei Sheng Ling Chong Man. She praised the Lord. She's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, I said to the group as they were praising the Lord around me, if we are all here filled with the Holy Spirit, why are we not keeping God's day holy instead of Sunday? She said there was complete silence. Complete silence. And then the pastor of the church backed up, and he started shouting and pointing at her, Tayo Bei Xieling Chong Mana. She's filled with an evil spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And Gwen said, you know, I never went back there again. You can imagine why. Well, time passed, and I met Gwen, had the privilege of studying with her, and then baptizing her. The charismatic movement, brothers and sisters, is the most dynamic, the most powerful movement in Christianity throughout the world today. Are you aware of that? The most dynamic, the most powerful. It has impacted probably almost every denomination in the world today in some way, in some way. And so it's had a tremendous impact, and I think that it has become very confusing to many people, the subject of the Holy Spirit and what happens when the Holy Spirit takes charge of your life. Well, there's two key challenges to the charismatic movement, and the first has to do with the fact that frequently those who are involved in the charismatic movement place personal experience above God's word. Personal experience, what I feel has been revealed to me, is actually more important than God's word. That revelation is above God's word. And so I'm using then something very subjective as a standard by which I judge what is truth and what is right and wrong instead of the word of God. The second key challenge that they face is just this. Jesus made it very clear to to his followers that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to lead into what? Is to lead into all truth. Into what truth? The truth revealed in this word. And the question is that what the Holy Spirit is doing? Is he leading into all truth? Is he leading people to follow God's word? I suppose a very basic question would be, would the Holy Spirit who inspired this book give you or me a revelation contrary to what he put in this book? That's a very basic question. Would he give a revelation contrary to that? This morning I'd like to ask you, do we really know the Holy Spirit? What do we know about the Holy Spirit? What do we really know about the Holy Spirit? And I'd like to suggest to you this morning very briefly, because we're not going to... The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is a huge doctrine, a big doctrine. But there's some key things that we know about the Holy Spirit. And the first one is that he is equal with the other two members of the Godhead. He's part of the Godhead. He is one of the persons of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there in Matthew 28:19, you remember Jesus said that his followers were to go everywhere, baptizing in the names of whom? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit. And so he, in Scripture, he is an equal member of the Godhead. He is God. He is God. There's a second thing that we're told about the Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus in our scripture this morning tells us, he says that when I leave you, because he voluntarily took on humanity, could no longer be present every place, and he said, when I leave you, the Holy Spirit is coming to take my place, and he's going to be with all of you. You know, that just blows my mind. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't understand omnipresence. How can a being be every place at the same time? He can be with you and be just as interested in you, and he can be with me at the same time and just as interested in everything going on in my life. How does that work? Well, you and I are not God, and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. But we know that he took Jesus' place. He took Jesus' place. And we know that he is a person. He is a person, not some impersonal influence. I'd like to urge you to read the book of Acts. The book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit at work. And the Holy Spirit is actually leading out in the early Christian church. And you find such phrases as this there in the book of Acts. Acts 15:28 says that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And clearly the Holy Spirit is a person, not some influence that is out there, some power that we're to use. The Holy Spirit comes in and he wants to use us. Unfortunately, there's many people who would like to use him. Why is it important to know that he is a person, that he is God? Why is that important anyway? I would like to suggest to you this morning that it is vitally important for this reason. Because I cannot respond to God, to him as God, if I don't believe that he is God. How do I let him into my life? How do I listen to his convicting power in my life if I really don't believe that he is God? How can I walk with him every day and come to know him as my very best friend if I don't believe that he's God? That he's just an influence, just an impersonal power out there. And so it's very important for each one of us to know that the Holy Spirit is God. That the Holy Spirit is God. Now, in Scripture, there's something that is very fascinating, because we don't hear as much about the Holy Spirit as we do about God the Father and God the Son. And there's a reason for that, because the three persons of the Godhead all have different functions in the plan of redemption and the plan of salvation. And Jesus said that one of the works, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, this person of the Godhead, is to glorify Christ, is to uphold Christ, because Christ is a member of the Godhead who came down here and gave his life for you and for me. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself. He upholds Christ. He upholds Christ, and so we don't hear that much about him. Well, if I want to walk with him, if I want to really come to know the Holy Spirit and have him in control in my life, then I have to believe that he is God, that he is God. There's a wonderful chapter in God's Word that I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to this morning, because I think that it shares with us more clearly than any other chapter the way that I come to know who he is and how I know that he is really my very best friend. Someone that I can walk with, someone that I can talk with, someone that I can share with, and that is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In the NIV Bible that I'm using, the title of this chapter is Life Through the Spirit. Life Through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to you and to me. And folks, this is one of the most amazing, one of the most wonderful pieces of news that the Christian, that anybody can ever receive. The Holy Spirit ministers to you and to me in showing us that our guilt and our condemnation are taken away. We are set free in Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting news, folks? That is one of the greatest functions, ministries of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at it together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Folks, that is good news. The Holy Spirit comes to you and to me. And you know what he says? I know that your life is filled with guilt and condemnation. And folks, not a person here this morning, I hope, needs to be told by somebody else that you're rotten. Most of us know that. Most of us know the temptations, the sins that beset us at every turn in the Christian walk. The Apostle Paul knew that, didn't he? He said, the things that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing, and the things that I should do, I don't do. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he points us to the blood of Jesus Christ, and he says, this blood is able to cleanse you and to set you free from guilt and condemnation. That is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to the heart of the Christian. There's a second thing that he does, and that is that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our thinking is changed. Our attitudes are changed. And folks, that is basic to living the Christian life. If you look at verses 5 and 9 in chapter 8, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And then down in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He does not belong to Christ. You know, folks, we should not kid ourselves, because we all need to be changed. Isn't that right? We all need to be changed in order to become like Him. If anyone ever asks you, does God still work miracles? I sure hope that your answer will always be yes, a resounding yes, because the greatest miracle in the world takes place when the Holy Spirit comes in and changes us. The greatest miracle in the world. Every time there's a new birth, every time there's a new birth, a miracle has taken place. Paul talks about over in Ephesians like it's a resurrection from the dead. A resurrection from the dead. It's real, folks. We're changed completely. And then there's a third thing that we discover in the ministry of through the Holy Spirit, and that is found in verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 8. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we experience new life in Christ. And folks, when we experience that new life, there's a new enthusiasm for the things of God. There's a new enthusiasm to be where people are worshiping God, where people are praying to God. There's a new excitement in the heart for getting into His Word and for knowing Him. You know, the Apostle Paul says over there in Philippians 3:10, that it was his greatest desire to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in his life. What is that like? That is a power that helps us to daily know what it is to live a victorious life, to be overcomers in the name of Jesus Christ. Power from Him to be Christians that really, really represent Jesus Christ. There's a fourth thing that the Holy Spirit does, and we find that down in verse 16 of Romans 8. And folks, this is every one of these ministries that the Holy Spirit provides as we walk with Him and He becomes real to us is really so exciting. And this is another one of the really exciting ones. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, that we are God's children. Every single Christian should know in their own life what it feels like, what it is really like to be adopted into the family of the King of this entire universe. Do you know what that makes you and me? Princes and princesses. You know what that says about our self-worth, folks? It says everything. There is really wonderful joy in the realization that we are sons and daughters of the King of the universe. We're part of His family. We're part of His family, with all of the privileges that go with that. And then the fifth ministry that he gives to us is one that we must never forget. The Holy Spirit ministers to us to make us aware that God has provided something better than this old world has to provide. Something better. And if you look at verses 17 and 18, they speak for themselves. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know what he's saying, folks? Those trials, those difficulties, those hardships that we go through in this life are not even worth comparing when we think of eternity and what God has prepared for us. Paul says, adds to that, actually, over in 2 Corinthians 4, where he makes this statement, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen, unseen, is eternal." Folks, God has something planned much better for us. Something much better than this old world has to offer. And folks, you know what that should say to us? Is that we better not become too enamored, too caught up with the things, the temporary things of this life, because they are going to pass away. The next ministry that the Holy Spirit provides, verses 26 and 27, he intercedes for you and for me. You know, Paul says, we don't even know how to pray. Do you always know what to pray and say to the Lord? I certainly don't, and I certainly don't always understand everything that is going on. And folks, it is so encouraging to know that the Holy Spirit, one of the members of the Godhead, interprets and translates it all for me because he knows my heart. That is one of the special ministries of the Holy Spirit as we walk and talk with him, as we learn to live the life, the Christian life in the Spirit. That's what it's all about. And then number seven, the seventh ministry, is one that we're all very, very aware of, perhaps too aware of, in verse 28. He is able to work in and through all events of life for our own personal good. You know the verse well, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I think that we all know today that not everything that happens is God's will. We know that. We know that. However, the Holy Spirit is able. He has a way of turning even those demonically created tragedies in our lives into something positive, if we permit him to. If we permit him to. Now, some of you will be old enough to remember this, but many years ago, Jack Parr was a host on The Tonight Show. Any of you remember that? Are you afraid to admit that? He was a host on The Tonight Show, and the music director on that show was a fellow by the name of Jose Melas. Any of you remember that? And for years, the American public was treated to his ability to improvise and his versatility on the keyboard. He was just very, very good at it. And what he would often do, Jose would be standing there and Jack Parr would come in Jose would invite him to come over to the piano, to the keyboard. And Jack Parr, who couldn't play the piano, would just hit the keyboard anywhere. And it was a horrendous discord, is what it was. And then, all of America watched, Jose would listen as Jack Parr would say, "Okay, Jose, try to do something with that." And Jose would put his hands on the exact same keys, that horrendous discord that Jack Parr had hit. And he started out with that and turned it into the most beautiful piece of music. And he didn't just play it at the beginning. He would come back to that over and over again. But what had been very ugly and distasteful was now something beautiful. And you know, I like to think that that is what the Holy Spirit is willing to do with those tragedies and those difficulties, those horrendous discords in our lives, if we're willing to permit Him to do it, if we're really willing to let Him do it. You know, 7 is a perfect number, and I thought about stopping with that. But I can't, because there's a number 8 that I cannot leave out. And actually there's many other things in this chapter that I could have mentioned about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But folks, this is so vital and so important. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you and I receive the complete assurance of salvation. And this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it speaks for itself and begins with verse 31. Verse 31, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And folks, the Holy Spirit does everything in His power to administer that special blessing to you and to me, that we will never forget that there is nothing in this universe that is able to separate us from Jesus Christ and His love for us. I'd like to ask you this morning, do you really know the Holy Spirit as your friend, as your constant companion? Do you pray daily for a baptism of the Holy Spirit? And are you experiencing the joy, the ultimate joy of walking and living in the Holy Spirit? Friends, we need the Holy Spirit. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing together that very thing.
Come as I to the blind. Take me, so body and mind. Come, Holy Spirit.
Is our prayer today. Come in your own gentle way and fill our lives, Holy Spirit, to overflowing. Help us to know as we walk out of here today that we are walking with you, the Holy Spirit, the one who ministers to us in every need. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer in Christ's dear name. Amen.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer